Well, let's get this started. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this session about Office Web Apps. I know you're a bit tired after having a lunch, long days, etc., but the best is yet to come. We're going to talk about Office Web Apps today. That's my personal favorite new feature in the Office family for a long time. It's a really interesting product. My name is Victor Wilén. I work for a partner company to Microsoft called Connecta in Sweden as a SharePoint architect. I've written a couple of books. I have a couple of certifications. And I'm also a Microsoft MVP on SharePoint. Today we're going to talk about Office Web Apps 2013 and how to maintain that server product, how to deploy it, install it, configure it. We'll take a look at security options, etc. And I want to give you all the tools you need to properly maintain your farm. I will do everything in PowerShell so you know that everything is automated, so you can reuse the script and script out your farms, etc. And I want you to understand why this product is as good as I think it is. And I think you will see that through the demos. There will be a lot of demos today. As I said, all PowerShell. And a lot of flipping back and forward between the slides and the demos. So, first of all, we're going to start with an introduction, compare Office Web Apps 2013 with the previous version. We walk through an installation of Office Web Apps as a single server. We will connect the Office Web Apps farm to SharePoint and to Exchange. We will scale out it to have two servers in our farm. We'll do configuration. We will talk about update and patching. We will also discuss quite a few slides about security considerations. And then finally, some troubleshooting tips and tricks and some common gotchas that I see in the Office Web Apps implementations. But first of all, let's clear up the biggest misconception. OWA is not Office Web Apps. That's Outlook Web App. It's been Outlook Web Access for 10 years or 15 years. So if someone talks to me about OWA, this is what I think. Office Web Apps is a web application companion, WAC. That's how we. So remember that. OWA is Outlook Web Access. WAC is Web Application Companion or Office Web Apps 2013. So first of all, let's take a look at Office Web Apps in 2010. Office Web Apps was first introduced in SharePoint 2010 as a service application. It was patched, installed, and configured together with SharePoint 2010. That was a big problem because it was totally different update schedules between the Office Web Apps team and the SharePoint team. So, and all the patches came through SharePoint, which meant that we couldn't have the release cadence that the Office Web Apps team wanted on our SharePoint on-prem servers. It had somewhat strange licensing issues. But it supported really cool things such as co-authoring. We could watch documents in the browser on mobile devices, etc. And this service was also used by a site called docs.com, SkyDrive, and now OneDrive used it, Facebook used it, and a lot of other applications. So it was not just SharePoint that used this application. But in the SharePoint scenario, the Office Web Apps was bundled as a service application. So the team decided to make a separate server application of the Office Web Apps service application, just like they've done with Workflow, which is now also decoupled from SharePoint 2013. The team decided to decouple Office Web Apps service application into its own server product. And Office Web Apps Server is a brand new server product. It doesn't cost you anything except if you want to edit stuff. So, and the licensing model is a bit easier, but it's still tied to the Office client license editing, the editing licensing, I mean. It's built for the cloud, I would say. It's built for a rapid release cadence. Since it's not now decoupled from SharePoint, we can patch it and maintain it totally separately from SharePoint. And the team really wants to have full parity with the Office thick client and the Office Web Apps. And they're aiming for that. And you've seen that, especially if you're using SkyDrive or OneDrive, that updates are coming very often and introducing new features all the time. And also to be able to host SkyDrive at that enormous scale, they had to build a brand new server product that's much more fault tolerant and scalable. and as I said, independent of SharePoint. And Office Web Apps cannot only use by SharePoint. For instance, we use OWA, Outlook Web Access, that is, and we can use Lync together with Office Web App Server. And it's also now introducing Yammer as well. One of the reasons that it can be used by these many service products is that they created a protocol called WAPI, and then we'll have a slide about that in a bit later. But that's an interesting protocol. It allows us to also build similar products and use this, use Office Web App Server in our custom products or service, etc., if you want to. And not only did they rebuild it into its own service product, they introduced a lot of new features as well. As I said, it's disconnected from SharePoint, but the browser and mobile support is way better in 2013 compared to the 2010 version. The licensing is better, it's free for viewing, so you can basically have this on your public.com site and let the anonymous users view your documents, Word, Excel documents, etc. You can also show files from UNC paths. Although it works, I cannot recommend it because it requires you to do some strange permission settings on the actual file system. It's based on this new WAPI protocol. It supports external data in Excel, which means that in some cases it can actually replace Excel services in SharePoint. It also supports ODF. If you use ODF in your organization, you can use Office Web App Server. And since the March update, it will also support PDF. And there's tons of more new features. We have the OneNote Ink support. We have comments in Word and PowerPoint. We have a lot of different SKUs connected to this, and also in Office 365. And there's new features added all the time. And I saw a quote a month ago, that someone stating that looking into the web interface of Office Web Apps and see how they're using web standards. And Office Web Apps is one great example of this because it supports screen readers and all of that things you need to do a really good web interface that can be used by disabilities, people with disabilities, etc. And Office Web Apps is such a great product that way. I'm sure you tried it on an iPad or Android or a Windows phone or a lot of mobile devices. This works really, really great. Before we dive into the technical details, just take a quick look at the WAPI protocol that enables this Office Web App Server. It's called WAPI is an acronym for Web Application Open Platform Interface. It's an open and documented protocol. That means there is a specification you can download if you want to implement a WAPI host or a WAPI app. A WAPI host is, for instance, SharePoint. And a WAPI app is WAC. And I've written a couple of blog posts of that if you're interested on how to build your own WAPI app, for instance, which is really great. Assume that you have your custom file format, could be a CAD drawing, for instance, and you want to enable previews in SharePoint for that file format. Then you can build your custom WAPI app and enable previewing and even editing in SharePoint if you want to. And to understand how this works a bit and how it works with different clients, it's basically very easy. It's an iframe thing. You have the SharePoint, the WAPI clients on the left-hand side here, and we have Office Web Apps on the other side. First of all, there's a discovery thing you need to do. The SharePoint, for instance, must know what file types, etc., does this Office Web Apps or WAPI app which file types can it handle? So it does a discovery to the WAPI app and retrieves that back. And that's the only way, only time the SharePoint, for instance, talks to Office Web Apps directly. Otherwise, always Office Web Apps that initiates the connection to SharePoint or the client that initiates the connection. So when we want to look at the document in SharePoint Exchange or Lync, we open up a page in SharePoint or Lync, which has called the host frame. In that one, we open an iframe called the app frame. And the app frame is from Office Web Apps in this case. And then the Office Web Apps do file and folder operations on Lync, Exchange to SharePoint, and renders that file in the app frame. So that's very basic how it works. So as you see, SharePoint only communicates at the discovery, situation with Office Web Apps directly. Otherwise, it's always initiated from other directions. So let's start with how we configure this new server. We need to look at the hardware requirements. I would say it's basically the same as SharePoint 2013. If you have a machine with 12 gigabytes, four cores, decent-sized cache drive, you can support about 20,000 users simultaneously on this single box. Of course, if you want my topology session last yesterday, you know I said 3 is the new 2, so you should always have 3 servers, at least to have high availability and still be able to do maintenance and patching. But one server can support really, really many users. It's good to know that virtualization is fully supported. Operating system-wise, we need Windows Server 2008 R2 and this specific patch listed here, or we can use 2012 or 2012 R2. It requires that we have .NET Framework 4.5, PowerShell 3, and it must be joined to a main. Preferably, it has to be in the same domain as SharePoint, but the requirement are that it has to be in the same forest at least. A couple of more server requirements. This is really important. Do not run any other server applications on the WAC server. You cannot run it together with SharePoint. That's a hard block. But do not install Exchange or anything else on the Office Web App server, especially if they are applications that run are using the IIS. Because whenever you start a WAC server, it will tear down all the IIS sites and build up its new. So it's always recreating all the IIS sites. So if you think you can host your own small little web IIS site or web service, etc., on your WAC server, those will be removed as soon as you restart the WAC server or the WAC service. That's good to know. And it's also listed that you should not even install Office on a WAC server, and you shouldn't install Office on any kind of server, for that matter. A couple of other things to remember is you should always use SSL TLS. It's really, really important. Mentioned it in a couple of sessions now, and this goes for SharePoint as well. But we will discuss it more in detail when we come to the security side. But the important thing here is when you secure it with SSL, you need the certificate must contain all the fully qualified domain name of all the WAC machines in your WAC farm. Otherwise, the farm will work, but you will get some error messages and warnings, etc. You can do with a wildcard certificate or a SAN certificate with a wildcard entry if you want to. My recommendation is that you use session affinity on the load balancer. It's no requirement, but you get better performance from that because then the current session has its document cached on the cache drives. One thing the TechNet misses is one important Windows feature that must be installed, and it's a WCF HTTP activation. Office Web App Server will work without it, but just the same as with the certificates, you will get a lot of warnings because it cannot communicate internally properly and do its health reporting that it does. And I've also been told that a split farm configuration is supported, and the requirement for that is that latency must be very low. It might degrade performance somewhat, but most if you use session affinity, you will most likely talk to the same server all the time, and the caching are local. There's no internal load balancing or things like that in Office Web App Server. The only thing that flows between the machines are its own configuration. So, the install is very easy. And this is the way I usually do it. You install the OS, install all the prerequisites, of course, run Windows Update. Then you run the WAC installation, install the bits. You can choose to install it on another location than C program files. You patch it directly afterwards. Now we can do the slipstream SP1 if you want to. And you also install all the language packs here. Once you've done that, you do a sysprep of this machine and create a template of it because you want to use the same sysprepped state to install the rest of the machines in your farm. Then you start it up from a sysprep state, join the domain, join a cluster, or configure it to be in the load balancer. Then you create or join a WAC farm. And the installation is yet basically next finish. So it's really, really easy to install. But the good thing is to have this sysprep machine, because you will use it. You will use it when you patch WAC server and when you scale it out. So then basically just repeat from 6 for each and every machine you want into this one. Okay, we've done 22 slides and you haven't seen anything fun yet. So let's take a look at the demo environment we're gonna use today. This is on my laptop and I've been switching back and forth between each machine. I will try to tell you when I'm on which machine so you can follow with me. But basically we have a SharePoint server and an Exchange server. We will build out a 2-server WAC farm and finally we will publish the WAC, the Office web apps through the web application proxy, so we can use it externally as well. In our first demo, we will use the start the second machine in my WAC farm from a sysprep state. So let's switch over to my demo machine. And here's the machine that's turned off. All I need to do now is turn this machine on. So it's starting up from its sysprep state. And while it's starting, let's take a look at my other machine, my WAC SP1 machine, that I already installed the bits on and started up from its sysprep state and joined the domain. And before I, let's do, oh, log in. Here's a couple of scripts. This is the script I used before going into the sysprep state. And how I added the required features before I even installed the Office Web Server. All this I listed in TechNet, except this one at the end here, the WCF HTTP activation, which was listed in the slide previously. I also recommend you that you add the static and dynamic compression so you get more efficient network usage. I also added the network load balancing and the administration tools for that, because I will use NLB to load balance my Office Web Apps farm. If you, by default, when you install Office Web App, it will configure the firewall for you. But you can do it, of course, with PowerShell as well. And the most important two rules are here. It's 443 for incoming requests. We're going over SSL. And 809 internally in the WAC farm. The port 809 are used by WAC internally to push out and get its configuration information. But normally, these are added by WAC server itself. So let's jump into this machine. And this is a machine I started from a sysprep state. We need a Swedish keyboard. Click next, skip that one, and read through that one. So now I'm just booting up and logging in. So what I will do now is start up PowerShell, run a script that will join it to the domain, and we will soon go back to the slides. And of course, before I sysprep it also, I added all my scripts to the machine, so they're already there. So all I have to do is open up this script, take a couple of seconds the first time, since we're starting from a sysprep state. Let's zoom in a bit and walk through the different steps. So basically, I'm doing everything here. I specify the domain I want to join, the name of the server. Since it's started from a sysprep state, it has a random name. I'm going to place this Office Web App, this new machine, into a dedicated OU in Active Directory, and that's really important from a security point perspective. I'm also configuring the network card on this one. So just get those properties. First thing we do is set the IP and the DNS. Take a few seconds. I'm going to do a verification ping in the directory controller. It works. I need to get the credentials so I can join the domain. Spell correct. Like that. And then I use the add computer to join it to the domain and specifying the OU so it ends up in that OU correctly. I rename the computer. I can do it in the same step if I want to. And then once that is done, I restart the machine. So next time we get back to this one, we can actually join it to our WAC form. But let's jump back to this one for a short second just to show you. This was the directory before. This OU before I added this machine to the domain. And if we refresh now here, give it a thinking. Shouldn't think that long. Okay, we'll look at that later. So basically what I've done now was just starting up a machine from a sysprep state, joining it to domain. Very easy, but can be fully scripted. So the next thing I need to do is actually create my WAC form. And for that, I use a commandlet called new Office Web Apps form. I specify my internal and external URLs. We'll talk about those more in detail later. I always use a fully qualified domain name here at all the time. And also, as I said before, use HTTPS, so I should configure that here as well. If you do not use HTTPS and decide to use HTTP, I really, really recommend that you take a look at IPsec. But IPsec is more complex implementing than SSL, so in most cases you resort back to SSL anyway. If you decide to use SSL offloading, you must use SSL offloaded switch here, so all the URLs are correctly generated by WAC. Here's also the time where you specify where are my cache locations being to located. You should locate them on a dedicated drive. By default, they're in program data, and you don't want the cache to be on the system drive. Specify the Active Directory OU, and if you remember, I added this WAC machine to a dedicated OU. And when I create the farm, I can decide that only machines in this OU are allowed to join this farm. So that's a security constraint. So not a rogue admin can just go in and add a machine to this farm and steal data from you. So that is a security measurement, and I really recommend it. The thing is, the OU must be a top-level OU in your Active Directory. And that's always a fun discussion with the AD admins. Also here, I can use a switch to enable editing. By default, you're not allowed to edit documents in Office Web Apps unless you specify this parameter here. There's a couple of other things I can add here. Log settings, how much should I log, the retention of the log, if I want to use clip art, and I put a note there about the proxy. If your machine doesn't have direct connections to the internet, you might need to go via proxy, so you have to specify that. You can disable picture pasting, use Bing translation, etc., etc. So there's a lot of properties you can edit here. Okay, next demo. Now we go back to the machine that I already prepared before and take a look at how we create our first farm, our first machine in the farm. And there you can see we have both machines there. And to create my farm, we should use that script. I import the module for Office Web Apps. Then I specify a couple of properties here. First of all, the farm OU. This is the name of the OU, and as here you can see, I can only specify name of it, so it must be the top name. I specify an internal external URL. Just for demo purposes, I use .local as my internal address. You shouldn't use that. I specify the cache locations. On my machine here, I only have one drive, but I'm placing them in the root folder instead of under program data. You can specify cache sizes. And also, I specify my certificate here, the name of the PFX file that I want to use, and its friendly name. So let's get those properties in. First of all, import the certificate using import PFX certificate, and then I just print out, have to be in the right folder. Is that the one? So now it's imported the certificate into my local certificate store, and it just prints out the DNS name I have in the SAN certificate. And it's the load balance name of my WAC farm. It's external, so both the internal and external load balance name, and also the fully qualified domain name of all machines that can be in this farm. Now I will only do two machines in this farm, so if I decide later to add a third machine, I need to update certificate on all my machines. Or if you know you're going to add a lot of machines, then you can add a wildcard DNS entry into to the SAN certificate. And the next thing we need to do is to use the new Office Web Apps farm, commandlet, and just add in all these parameters. As you can see in the end here, I have editing enabled, and I also have confirm forms, so I don't have to confirm this command. But just because I have editing enabled, I must confirm it. This is because if you enable editing, your internal users must have an Office license to be able to edit documents. So I get this, continue with this operation. So let's start up two things here. Task manager, it's usually fun to see, and let's go here as well. A couple of seconds, we should start seeing, and it quite fast you will see here that the CPU goes up on the machine and it becomes very unresponsive. So now the farm is created, and everything is going really slow. It's created the three log files here. If you take a look at the CPU, it spikes at 100%. If we go into details, this just means it's working. Take a look at the processes here. It starts a lot of processes. You can see a lot of websites and a lot of exe files called watchdog processes. And that's actually processes that monitoring all the different parts of Office Web Apps all the time. So the monitors for Excel, the PowerPoint broadcast, etc. And all these watchdog processes reports back to the central health analyzer built into Office Web Apps if they're healthy or not. So it's constantly monitoring itself. So you can see how this fits into the picture, scaling it out in hundreds and thousands of, not 100,000 servers, but hundreds and thousands of 2,000 server, which essentially is what OneDrive's using. And it will spike the CPU for, yeah, it should be done by now. And the PowerShell command that just exports out all the properties of this new Office Web Apps farm. What I usually do is, this is one of the warm-up script or verification things I do. I use a web request and hit one of the anonymous endpoints. And in this case, I get out a header so I can see which version it's using. That's good for informational purposes or if you just want to see which version it's on right now. We have a question over there. The question was if it's an issue using the same internal and external URL. No, that would not be an issue, but then you should just skip the external URL, just use the internal URL. But once your farm should be up and running, the CPU has slowed down on your machine, there's two things you need to check. First of all, browse directly to this machine to fully qualify domain name, like we have over here. Then append /hosting/discovery. This is the first check you always should do. So browse to that one. You can get security warning if you haven't changed your Internet Explorer configuration. That will take a few seconds. And if everything is correct, we should see an XML file coming up fairly soon. Like this. If you see this, then it's working properly. And the second thing, my certificate is working. I have no red warning up here, which means I can address my machine directly using its fully qualified domain name. So that was all. But now we know this machine is up and running and should be ready to start working with and connecting to SharePoint. But let's jump back to the slide for a bit first. The next thing we want to do, we cannot do on anything until we start connecting Office Web Apps to SharePoint or Exchange or Link. And that's done in SharePoint using the commandlet new SPWOPI binding. And it actually adds WOPI binding, and as you can see here as well, it doesn't mention anything about Office Web Apps or WAC. It's WOPI, the protocol instead. So it doesn't have to be Office Web Apps to connect to. It can be something, some other WOPI app in this case. And use new SPWOPI binding, and you specify the server name for the fully qualified domain name of the server as a parameter, and that will use the discovery protocol and get all the different file types into SharePoint. You can use different parameters if you only want a specific extension or a specific file name or prog ID, etc. If you want to be more granular on what type of files you should be able to use Office Web Apps in your SharePoint. In SharePoint, we can also use this. We can connect to multiple WPA clients. Of course, only one Office Web Apps, but if we create one for some other obscure file format or whatever, we can connect to that as well. Here's one important thing. If SharePoint uses HTTP, you must specify allow OAuth over HTTP as a parameter here as well. And that's a property on the security token service config in SharePoint. Remember, it's Office Web Apps talking back into to SharePoint, so then it's talking over HTTP back. So it's in SharePoint you have to do this. So very fast on how to connect it to Link and Exchange. In Exchange, we use the set organization config. We see that in the demo. And specify the WAC discovery endpoint. Here it's called WAC instead. And also with the Exchange, we can only have one endpoint. And we have to add the whole URL here. So the teams aren't talking that much with each other. Interesting note here is that this parameter is reserved for internal Microsoft use only. That's a note in TechNet, but everyone uses it anyways. In Link 2013, if you want to connect that to our Office Web Apps server, use the topology builder and the UI to connect to Office Web Apps. And both Exchange and Link only allows one WPA app be connected to the server product. So, let's go to the next demo, where we actually connect to our Office Web Apps farm. It's still one server only. We will use three machines in this case, our WAC server, our SharePoint server, and our Exchange server. Let's start with our SharePoint server. Refresh all here. Here's the traditional team site. If you just give it a second to warm up. Now we show you that it's not connected to Office Web Apps so far. If we were connected to Office Web Apps, we should have seen some previous or something like that here. If we clicked on New Document, we would have gotten asked on what kind of document we want to create instead of getting this upload thing. If we do a search for SharePoint, and you will see we see no previous here in a second. It's a bit slow right now. Come on. Well, let's get back to that later. So in order to actually join our, or connect to our Office Web Apps farm, load the SharePoint PowerShell snap in. And if I had SharePoint running on HTTP, then I need to change this security token service configuration here. But we don't have to do that right now. I'm running both SharePoint and Exchange over HTTPS on these machines. Oh, here's the result page. We don't have any previews in here either. So what I do is actually I use the new SPWP binding, specify the server name, the fully qualified server name. I missed one thing, I think, here. We haven't set up the cluster yet. Good thing. So let's go over here. I didn't set up my NLB cluster. I don't have the load balance name yet. Sorry. So let's do that quickly. I specify an IP and interface to connect NLB to. Now I'm on my Office Web App server. I create the new NLB cluster like that. Takes a few seconds to spin this one up. And we can take a look at things down here below. What I'm actually doing is directly adding the remote administration feature for DNS and adding two A records, one for my internal zone and one for my external zone. So let's run that. That takes another 15, 20 seconds. And I can't test this unless we get this up and running. So what I just done here, I created a new NLB cluster on this specific machine only so far. And DNS should be updated very soon. Let's try like this. I go in here and change the name to the the internal name, say wacksbc.corp.local, just verifying the discovery endpoint. Should be working. Sometimes it's a little bit slow. I'm running 8 machines here on my laptop right now. So, didn't go through. Let's see. It's usually faster than that, this. No. Okay, let's wait a couple of more seconds. We can't continue on this. It's working. Come on. Something went wrong. Cannot ping that one. Okay. Flash DNS. See if that works. Please. This has never failed me before. Yeah. So let's start up Internet Explorer, just verify that the hosting discovery endpoint works as well. Because this is the one I will be, that the SharePoint will connect to and get all the WPA bindings. Okay, now it's working. Fine, let's continue. So now I'm back on my SharePoint server. I use the new SP WPA binding and specify the fully qualified domain name of the internal zone, in this case, of my Office Web App server. And now run that script, it downloads that XML file, and it will output all the different WPA bindings it can discover. That should take a few seconds for it to finish. There you can see it outputs it all. And it's easier to take a look in the grid view at exactly what different bindings we have. So you can see we have Excel bindings, we have should have OneNote, PowerPoint, and Word, and Word PDF down here, both for the internal and external zone in this case. But for SharePoint right now, it will only use the internal HTTPS zone by default. So it's using internal HTTPS. And that's the default zone. So if you have anything else, if you're using HTTP or using the external zone, you have to change that binding, that WPA zone directly. So now we can go back to our team site. Let's reload all the pages. And if you take a look at the presentation here, you will see that it starts loading up the Office Web Apps in a few seconds, because Office Web Apps isn't warmed up yet. And we should start seeing the previews, both for PowerPoints, Word documents, even ODF documents, Excel, etc. Hopefully we can see the presentation here. Come on. I think the computer starts getting tired as well. Okay, meanwhile, there it's loading. And also, but I don't have any previews for PDF. Currently, that's not enabled by default, so you have to do some custom code to get the PDF previews. That's also available on my website if you want PDF previews. It's not even including Service Pack 1, which is installed on this machine. And if I click on a document directly, I go to Office Web Apps and I can edit it. If I click on New Document, I can create a new file here. And also, if you notice on the left-hand side, if you create a team site when it's connected to Office Web Apps, you will get the OneNote notebook as well. And this team site was created before I was connected to Office Web Apps. That's why I don't have it. But if we go to search and search for SharePoint, let's start from the beginning and search for SharePoint. It's really slow today. We should not see any previews here yet. To see the previews, we have actually to kick off a full crawl. So it creates a couple of managed properties which enables the different previews. So let's do that and go back to the slides then. Or connect it to Exchange first. So what I do, I get the local SharePoint sites and start a full crawl on that one, like that, and just wait for it to finish. So instead, let's jump over to OWA and log into my OWA administrator Vector. No. And I will show you a couple of emails with attachments. And if you click on one attachments, you will see that we do not have any previews yet. It will give us an error. And we are only allowed to download the file. And now let's jump to my Exchange server and configure it there. As you saw on the slide previously, we use the set organization config and specify the WAC discovery endpoint and add that to our Exchange management console like this. And let that run. But this will not update, will not make us see the previews in OWA directly. We actually need to recycle all the app pools on all our OWASP machines. So we run this commandlet as well, recycle the app pool, paste. Then if I want to, I can do some extra permissions here as well to enable WAC viewing on public or private computers, for instance. That's more a security thing you might configure. So, but we don't do that now. So let's jump back to the machine where I had my OWA console open, and I need to reload the interface, and it will take a couple of seconds since I recycled that pool, but fairly shortly we will see a preview. Okay, come on. Now we have previews directly in Outlook Web Access. We only have previews, we cannot edit documents in here. So that was the way how we connected Office Web Apps, or SharePoint and Exchange to Office Web Apps. And this was one machine only. Our next task is to scale out our Office Web Apps farm. And that's done using the new Office Web Apps machine, commandlet. So we add more servers to our WAC farm. And when we run this commandlet, we specify one of the other servers in the WAC farm. So we point to that one of those servers. And that server will tell the new server which one is the master machine, because all the WAC farms have a master machine, and the server to be new added to the farm will grab the configuration from the master machine. We can also specify roles here. By default, all the WAC machines have all roles. But we can have dedicated front-end WAC machines or Word backend, Excel backend, or PowerPoint backends. The recommendation is to always use all and not configure this unless you have more than 50 servers in your WAC farm. And how many in here have more than 50 servers in their WAC farms? Not that many. How many have specified roles? That's good. It can make sense in some cases if you have 20 or 30 servers and you have a lot of PowerPoint broadcasting, for instance, or a lot of people focusing, working with Excel, etc. But you shouldn't configure that unless you're doing it on a really, really large scale. And there's only one master machine. That master machine, if you can also remove machines from the farm, and the master machine must always be the last machine removed from the Office Web Apps farm. And if you lose the master machine for some reason, you may need to set a new one, and you do that using Set Office Web Apps Machine. Because that's the one that owns the WAC config. So let's do this on our machine that we, in the first demo, created from a sysprep state. So let's jump back over to WAC SPC 2. It has rebooted now. It looks a little bit strange. This usually fixes it. Like that. We log into that one. And I want to log in as a local admin in this case. And not only that, it needs to be local admin on the machine and a domain account to actually join the WAC farm. If it's only one single machine and I haven't specified any Active Directory OU, I can do with the local machine account. But since I have to look up and see if the machine is in the OU in Active Directory, it has to be a domain account. And the best domain account and local account is, of course, the domain admin. So I log in with that one, and since it's the first time I log in, it will take a couple of seconds before everything loads. And as you saw previously, I already had the scripts on this machine, and there's two scripts we need in this case, those two, Let's zoom it up. That was not zooming up. So what I'm doing here is I import the module. I need to install the certificate on this machine as well. So I specify the friendly name and the file of it. I import that certificate, and then we'll just run the new Office Webhouse machine to join it to the WAC farm. So I do like this first, get the properties, import the certificate, and then I can run new Office Webhouse machine and point to one of the other machines in my farm. And just as with the previous one, machine we saw and we created the Office Webhouse farm on it, it will very soon start consuming a lot of CPU. We can make sure that we get the folders created here in the root of the C drive. There we have them. And the CPU spikes, and that takes a minute or so. So now the farm is starting here, and we have to wait until we can do the verification of the discovery endpoint, just like I did on the first server. While that things are, while that is loading, I can use the get Office Web Apps farm commandlet and use dot machines on that one and inspect the status of all my machines. But because, as you can see here, when I run new Office Web Apps machine, I got the name of the master machine, the current machine, and its health status. And directly when I created it, it's always had the health status unknown because the watchdog process hasn't reported back yet. But after a minute or so, you could get a better status by running this command. Takes about 10 seconds to run, like that. You see we have two machines now in here. They're running all roles. My first machine are healthy, and my second machine, the one I just created, are unhealthy. And it will be unhealthy. It's a good thing it's unhealthy right now. It will be that for about 15 minutes until all the watchdog process has reported in, and that's approximately, it takes about approximately 15 minutes for all the watchdog process to report back. But this thing looks like it's working. Just let's verify the endpoint. Use recommended settings. https://whack/sbc2/corp.local/hosting/discover. I always do this after creating a new machine so I can both check it. We get the correct XML and we see that the certificate is correct. So that's a good practice. And of course, this one machine will be a little bit slow to start with. So we have the correct certificate and correct XML. Next thing I want to do is, of course, join this machine to our NLB cluster. And it's fairly simple. I specify the name of another machine in the NLB cluster, get that cluster, first get that cluster, pipe it into add NLB cluster node, so add a second node to the cluster. While that is running, we can actually go back to our SharePoint machine and see if our crawl has finished. So, and the crawl should be finished by now. Yes, it is. So let's reload the search page. And we should see something here soon. And this is one of the mistakes people do is that they don't run the full crawl after connecting the Office Web App server. And now we start to see that we get previews in here as well for the different file types. And what's happening right now as well, since I created the NLB cluster, the reason it might be a bit slow, now it's actually using the NLB cluster since I specified that when I did the book bindings. Which might be an issue for some of my demos. Sometimes I don't know which machine I'm on. But hopefully it works. So, let's go back to the deck. So it's very easy to add a machine. We just run a simple command, it grabs the configuration, add that machine, and then add it into some kind of load balancer. I mentioned the BOPI zones previously, the internal external ones, and there are actually four available. We have internal and external HTTP and internal external HTTPS. These zones, I very seldom use both of them, and you will see in my demos later why you should prefer using one over the other. The WOPI zones can be changed in SharePoint using the set SPWOPI zone or retrieve it using get SPWOPI zone. The reason why you want to have that is if you have a reverse proxy, for instance, that you can rewrite requests and still get the correct generated URL to your Office Web Apps farm. But Exchange always uses the external zone. That's really good, important to know. And as I will do in the next demo, is actually publish it through web application proxy instead of UAG. So the new thing in Windows Server 2012 R2 is a web application proxy. And that reverse proxy only do header rewrites, no body rewrites, which causes some issues with the internal external zones here, since I have to have the external URL and in backend server URL in the web application proxy the same. So I actually have to use the external zone. And let's take a look at the web application proxy. Any of you using web application proxy, by the way? One? Two of you. I have really big hopes for that product. It's really, really easy to configure, and it looks really exciting. So I have a web application proxy machine here. First of all, I can show you, I already published my web application, my team site. So now I'm on host machine, my Windows 8.1. So it's published through teamssbc.corp.com instead of local, published through the web application proxy. So if we jump into that machine and try to publish our Office web apps, like that. I go to the server manager, remote access, start the remote access management. I will use the UI in this case instead of using PowerShell, so you can actually see how the web application proxy works and looks like. Here's my different web application I've published. I choose to publish one of them. Click Next. Here I have the option to either use ADFS to do pre-authentication or allow the actual application to do that, the authentication using pass-through. And we use this in this case. WAC. I will use my external URL, HTTPS, of course. WACSPC.corp.com. That's the external URL. I already uploaded a certificate here. And here I have the option, since in my internal certificate I have the name of all my servers, and I have a different certificate here, not exposing those names for security reasons. I don't want to show everyone on the internet what my names are called internally. And I have the same external URL and the same backend server URL. That's a requirement when publishing Office Web Apps through the WAP. I click Next, then I get the PowerShell commandlet needed to run to do this next time. Copy and paste this, put it into Word document, and you have done your documentation, and click Publish. And it takes a couple of seconds. So let's jump back to my laptop here. Just do it like that. It hasn't been published yet, it takes a few seconds, but before if I use the published team site in this case, and SharePoint is configured to use Office Web Apps, but I don't have had this Office Web Apps published through my application proxy, I will of course see this page cannot be found since it cannot access my Office Web Server. But by now, it should have been published, so we take Control F5 and make sure it will reload, and we still get this page cannot be found. Anybody know why? Yeah? The WOPI zone, yeah. I'm still using SharePoint, the internal HTTPS as WOPI zone. So I actually need to go back to my SharePoint server over there, and should have that down here, and use the external HTTPS instead. That's what I said previously. Most often only use one zone, and the external HTTPS one is the best one in this case. A question over here. Yeah, you can only have one zone in SharePoint. So in this case, it means I have to have the internal, and previously had the .local, I have to have the .com DNS configured correctly internally as well. Yeah, WAC, exactly. So if we try to reload this one now, we should see a presentation coming up here. It always takes a most likely switch over to the other server in the NLB cluster now. That's why it takes time. But you see something is loading. So that's how you publish it externally. And this is really good for collaboration scenarios or extranet scenarios. So when we start publishing things What happened? What did I do wrong? And of course, if you want to troubleshoot these things, use a network trace tool. Reload the page, clear that, open up that one. Something is not as it. It normally works. Let's go back to that one later. It might be a timeout now. Yeah, that's actually, it can be timeout in the web application proxy when I go into my other machine in my Office web server. So the web actually does a timeout. We skip that. We don't have time to troubleshoot that now. It normally works. Okay, so when we start publishing stuff externally as well, I think it's interesting to talk about some security things. This is really important to know, that the WAC service runs as local, the WAC server runs as local system on the machine. And do not change this. That's the reason it's running as local system. It's very self-contained in that machine. You might think it's a good idea to change it so you can browse stuff on UNC paths, but what will happen when we restart a WAC machine? Yeah, everything will be reconfigured in IIS, so you will be back to local system anyway. So there's no point in changing this one. Always use SSL, as I said, or IPsec, especially on the internet. The firewall, I mentioned that previously. And the Active Directory OU, as we also talked about. And these are the things you should take a look at. But I assume we have published our Office web apps now on the internet. Also, the hosting discovery endpoint is available on the internet. So basically, if I have a SharePoint site that's exposed to the internet, I can use my competitor or some other vendor's Office web apps farm. And they might not have scaled their farm to handle thousands of other or tens of thousands of other users. So I can actually limit the host access. I can tell the Office web app farm, you can only be used by machines or SharePoint servers running on these domains, for instance. And it works like this. Office web apps host, you manage which host names can call the WAC farm. By default, any host name can connect to it. And this is not just for publishing stuff on the internet. It can be used internally as well. Assume your company designs a WAC farm, and then you have like 50 different under-the-desk SharePoint installations. So you don't want them to connect to your Office web apps farms. So always specify domain here. For example, sharepoint.contoso.com. And its wildcard is implicit, so everything teams.sharepoint.contoso.com will work in this case as well. Especially on internet-facing sites, it's important. Authentication, or authorization rather, in WPI is based on a very OAuth-like authentication protocol. It isn't OAuth, it's proprietary for WPI, but you have an access key, and this key is valid for 12 hours. So if you don't use SSL and someone sniffs that access key, they have access to this file for 12 hours. So that's a solely good reason to use SSL. And don't trust all your internal employees either. All the requests are signed with a proof key, so you don't get any man-in-the-middle attacks. So the request from WPI server and SharePoint are always protected by this proof key. And this proof key is continuously updated in the Office web apps farm, and SharePoint has a timer job that reads the updated proof key every 30 minutes. The timer job is called WPI Discovery Synchronization. If it fails to run for some reason, you can run the update SP WPI proof key that will detect this from the Office web app server. And that proof key is actually at the bottom of the hosting discovery XML we saw earlier. There we have the current proof key. This is not security, but it's really a configuration thing of Office web apps. is you can suppress certain WPP bindings. For instance, if you don't want Excel files, you import all the WPP bindings from Office Web Observer, but you don't want Excel files to have previews on Excel files, for instance. You can suppress XLSX extensions, for instance. The really viable example is when you want to use Excel services instead of Office Web Apps for rendering data. And that it's in those cases when you have external data in your Excel file that needs to talk back to a SQL analysis cube and use delegation, for instance, because Office Web Apps does not support delegation. And you just use the command, as you can see here. For Exchange, we saw that very briefly, that commandlet set OWA virtual directory, so you can enable WAC viewing on public or private computers, and you can also force WAC viewing before on private or public computers, so they have to take a look at the preview before they download the actual document as well. And really fast, let's take a look at the suppression settings. And hopefully, my machine has woken up and works as it should down here. Let's try this one some more. Otherwise, this demo is pretty useless. For some reason, it's not working with me. Basically, what will happen if I run just take a look at the PowerShell first. Like this. Set. Sorry. I need to be on the WAC server. I'm a bit confused when things doesn't work as I want to. I need to be on the WAC server to allow the host names. What? Like that. So let's set. What's wrong? Let's be Office. Office Web Apps. I don't see all of them. Sorry, not set. It's new. New Office. I add new Office Web Apps hosts to do that. To configure the different domain. So for instance, if I want to add domain contoso.com to only have machines on contoso.com domain access my Office Web Apps from, this is a command I run. And if I run this command now, it will not work in my environment since I have corp.local or corp.com. So Office Web Apps will not work at all on my machines here. So, but I can add more of them. For instance, if I want spc.corp.local, for instance. So I can start adding more domains into my allow list. But since the demo is not working, let's just not look at that, because you just get a friendly error message saying you can't see this document. Okay. So, assuming your farm is not running as mine and everything is working, you most likely have to do some operations maintenance anyways. And one of the things you normally do is update and patch Office Web Apps, and we're looking at really interesting features coming in the near future. And the patching is done totally independently of SharePoint, Exchange, and Link, as I told you previously. The key thing is when we never update a live Office Web Apps farm. We always create a new farm for this. And basically we remove Office. In the best case, we remove Office Web Apps from one of our servers. I said we should have three of them. So we remove Office Web Apps server from one of the machines, remove that from the farm, install the patch on that one, and create a new farm on that machine. And then we take one server at a time and join into the new machine. So we disconnect the old farm, WAC farm from SharePoint then, or Exchange, and connect the new farm. So we take one server at a time, and quick animation is basically like this. We have this situation. We have two WAC servers. We take one out of a rotation and remove Office Web Apps server from that one patch it once that is done. We can actually switch our network load balancing over to the new farm and start patching the other servers. We might need to update the proof key or do a reconnect to the Office Web Apps farm here. For instance, if there's new WPA extensions included in the patch, we might need to update all those bindings. But this essentially means we can have close to zero downtime when patching Office Web Apps. There will never be zero, but as close to zero as possible, if it maintained properly. So it's very easy. I will not show a demo of that. That's pretty boring. And also, here's a good tip. You saw and I used this commandlet earlier to check the version of it. I try to keep an updated version list available on my blog site, and I also have the versions of OneDrive. And it's really fun to see that each and every week there's a new version out there, smaller or bigger one, but it's continuously updated. And that service is running on, as I said, on thousands of WAC servers, and they have... I've never seen Office Web Apps, or Office Online, as it's called, that service now, down anytime. So it's a really good way of doing patching. And this can be done because the Office Web Apps don't contain any data, basically, just configuration. The data are in SharePoint or Exchange. To apply language packs, consider a language pack basically just like any patch to Office Web Apps in general. So you need... You cannot add language packs to a live farm. You have to create a new farm with the language packs. Monitoring. We have several options of doing this. There are actually multiple counter sets that you can use with Perfmon called Office Web Apps. Storage, cache hits are interesting. We also have the open hosting interface, the different WPA actions, so we can monitor what kind of things are done. Are we doing a lot of reads? Are we doing a lot of writes? What kind of extensions are we using, etc.? And also, we have a lot of ASP.NET counters. Everything is built on top of ASP.NET, so we can, of course, use those as well. So, eventually, something is going to happen, and our farm will not behave as we want to, so we need to do some troubleshooting. And, of course, since this is a great product, it contains a ULS log, and the ULS log is implemented exactly the same way as in SharePoint. So we can use the same tools as we do for SharePoint. And the really cool thing is that we can use, if something is initiated from WAC or SharePoint, and the requests go back and forward between those two server products, it's the same correlation ID. So if you get an error somewhere, and you can see it in WAC page, you can use ULS viewer on all your SharePoint boxes and all your WAC boxes, and use the same search for that specific correlation you correlation ID. So it's really easy to find the errors. And also really important, check the Office Web Apps category in the event viewer, especially if your machines are unhealthy. That is the place you should start looking at. And Fiddler, of course. Fiddler, you can inspect the requests going back and forward. It's really good for troubleshooting. And for those who like, the protocol specs are really interesting to read as well, to understand how it works. I will just show you the ULS viewer really quickly here on one of my machines. I need to switch that one. Because there's one thing with ULS viewer when you're running it on as perfect as my installs are. If I try to run ULS viewer, just download it and try to use that one. It will not work on an Office Web Apps machine configured as I have done here, because I don't have .NET Framework 3.5 installed. And that's what's required for ULS Viewer. So I need to create a config file. And just let me show that one. And just add the supported runtime for .NET 4 in here. Then the ULS should work. Hopefully, someday, ULS Viewer will be updated. So you do exactly as you used to do, and wait for the logs come in, and you can see it's logging, and you can do it in real time, and you can filter exactly as you do on SharePoint. And you can see here, you will see the watchdog process is coming really soon as well. So it's continuously tasked measuring your farm here. And if we take a look at the event viewer, we have the application and services log, we have Microsoft Office Web Apps here, and all in here should be information messages. Nothing else should be all white in here. So this looks like a perfect farm. If I scroll, let's filter it here. critical error and warnings. Warnings. But when, as soon as you reboot your machine, you will always get some errors. And most of them are, we got some timeouts I can see here. But this is a typical message that we can see. It says the agent manager watchdog report the status for agent manager watchdog in category that the machine is health is unhealthy. So that might have to do with that it hasn't reported back in a while or something is wrong. So keep an eye on those ones. Normally, you only see the, these errors when rebooting the machine. That leads me to the next slide. How do we fix these errors? Then the clever sysadmin finds this commandlet, repair office web apps form. Sounds perfect, right? Fixes everything for you. The thing is, the commandlet just removes all unhealthy servers from the farm. So if all the... So if all machines are unhealthy, you don't have any WAC formula anymore. Yeah, it might be good if you have 1,000 servers and 34 of them are unhealthy. Just remove them and then rebuild them from scratch. So don't use this one. So this is my recommendation. Find the actual problem and fix it. And I've given you the tools you need. Most often, it's not that hard, especially if you follow the instruction and install the correct features and use certificate correctly. You will not... get that many errors. But I listed a couple of them here. Machines are reported unhealthy. The three things I've seen is intra-farm communications, if the machines can't communicate with each other over HTTP 8, port 8 or 9. Certificate issues, the WCF HTTP activation. These are the things you should look for first. Just recently saw this one that the watchdog process just tried to start, then crashed, and tried to start, then crashed. This had to do that someone had decided that we should not have any performance counters installed for ASP.NET on these machines. Connection issues, of course, use Fiddler or something and check that you have communication back and forth between Office Web Apps and SharePoint, and check the correct WOPI zone. Here's another thing. Make sure that the user profile service application are in sync so we have the correct permissions on the documents when the Office Web App is actually trying to call back into SharePoint. And this last one, I've seen that in many, many cases, that when you try to move your cache files to the D drive or E drive or whatever, and they have done server hardening, then your Office Web App form will crash every time it tries to start. So you must make sure that the grant permissions to creator, owner, and server users. To server users on this machine specifically. That's a known issue. So I'm almost on time. Quick summary, and then we can do some questions on the microphone over here so we get that recorded. I think it's a really good product, and it's... In all my customer cases, this is a key feature in their collaborative scenarios or their intranet scenarios. And it's fully automatable. I clicked through all the scripts here, but we can basically have them run as scripts and run them when we boot up the machines, etc. So we can fully automate it. We can use PowerShell remoting for it. It's built for scale, an extreme scale. Very easy to administer, and it's PowerShell all the way. And I have a developer background, so I really like that it's extensible. You can build your own WPI apps or WPI clients. And that was it, folks. Thank you very much, and please evaluate the sessions, and we take the questions over here.
Are all your PowerShell scripts available?
No, they're not right now. They will be.
Okay.
Yeah, I post the... If you have more questions after this or doesn't dare to go up the microphone, use the Yammer post. I will post a link to the PowerShell scripts there. Yep.
I've got a question. You were talking earlier about Excel services and the Office Web Apps.
Yeah.
Right now we have a farm that we want Office Web Apps on most of the farm so that they can create Excel documents and edit, but we have a BI center with Project.
Yeah.
Is that an either or proposition, or I mean, do I have to disable the Excel web app?
You don't have to disable all of it. You can just disable the WPI action for viewing Excel documents, for instance. So you can still have the edit WPI binding
Okay, so
connecting to Office web apps, and then you suppress XLSX and Vue, those together.
Okay.
So when you have the Excel web part, it will actually use Excel Calc services instead of Office web apps.
So if they tried to create or edit, then Excel web app would pick it up.
Yeah.
But if they viewed, it would go into Excel services.
Yeah, and then you can use the delegation scenarios, etc.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is it possible to suppress certain WOP actions on certain sites?
Suppress.
For example, suppress the viewing of Excel only on specific team sites.
No, this is a per server setting, per SharePoint farm setting, I would say.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not that granular. I would be fun to see have it per site collection, but unfortunately not. And I think no.
Isn't there a document library setting to say open by open and close?
Yeah, that's open in. Yeah, but you still it's Office web apps on or off on the farm. But you can change when you click on a document that the opening client instead and prefer each.
Okay, thanks. And another common issue is Windows update settings.
That
Office web application companion can fail if the customer has set the Windows update settings to automatic.
Sorry, I can't hear. The microphone is over here, so please speak up in the microphone.
Another common issue that Office web apps can fail is that the customer has set the Windows update settings to automatic.
No, they should not have an automatic. Never on a server product. Never
not,
on a server
not
product.
All customers
no.
do that.
Yeah, but since it's built on ASP.NET, you have to, and if there's a hotfix for something out there, and it might change. So I would never do that. It might work in the most cases, but just like with SharePoint, we've seen several cases where we have ASP.NET hotfixes taking your SharePoint farmer down, servers down, and that can happen with Office web apps as well.
Three things. First, this is a great session.
Yeah,
WAP
thanks.
Is really important, and there's a lot of complexity to it, but it is really manageable. The first thing is, have you seen an issue, because I've had it and been able to repeat it, where if you change the default installation drive for all the WAPI components to be not the operating system drive, you can't get it to work.
Yeah.
There are errors.
That's what the security hardening thing I mentioned previously.
At the end, that's the one with the logs?
Yeah, it's both log caching and everything.
Okay.
Check that. That's what I've seen.
Last thing is, are there any special, because it's such an integral component to Exchange, Link, and SharePoint, are there any special complexities when you start to add those additional components to your WAPI farm, other than the bindings?
No, that's nothing. You can basically have one big Office web apps farm and connecting to 10 SharePoint and 5 Exchange, etc.
And that's the recommendation?
Yeah, you should have one central farm, yes. And that's why it's built for scale. So you basically scale it out if you need more services connecting to it. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We have to cut off now. I'll just pack my stuff together, and we'll see you outside for questions. Thank you.